Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
And when that God answers, His name is glorified in that answer. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm glad I made this discovery, because when I would have a bad day and when my emotions would be so racked, and the enemy usually would hit me with something to really hurtful when I was fatigued, when I'd been too busy to pray like I should, when I wasn't just too busy doing things for the Lord to spend time with the Lord, to just be pouring it out like a fountain without stopping to drink it in my personal life. And I want you to know what I come and do here now is different than when I started. Amen. I don't just come praying for a mighty anointing to flow through me. Amen. I first bow before Him. Last night, I was just in His presence. Amen. I was getting full of Him before I came here. Whatever I say or speak for Him, I want it to come out of a real, personal, fulfilling, overflowing relationship with Him. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? The anointing is a powerful thing. You can be falling away from God in a personal relationship, and if you're called to preach, I guarantee you, when you begin to preach, that anointing is going to kick in. Why? Because the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Can you say amen? Have you wondered how some evangelists could fail as miserably in certain areas of their life while preaching great crusades and people are coming to Christ? And you say, how could that be? Well, how could Samson do what he did after some of the sins he committed? The anointing was still present at that time. God is reluctant. Even when the Spirit left the temple, it wasn't a quick thing. It was something, when he moved before Moses, when He put him in the cleft of the rock, because Moses said, I want to see you. I don't want just to see your wonders. I don't want to just hear your audible words. I want to see you. And God wanted to reveal Himself, put him in the cleft of a rock, and then passed by him quickly and held his hand as a barrier while it all happened. It's incredible what God did. Just to keep His glory from being so intense that it killed the man. Because no man could look on him directly and live. But when the Spirit left the temple because of the idolatry and because of the irreverence and because of the blending of foreign gods, it was something Ezekiel watched slowly, sadly, pulling back. Grieved is a love word. It's not an anger word. And it says to grieve not the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? It's not God being mad. It's God saying, oh, my heart is broken because of the sin and because of what I'm seeing in the compromise. And He begins to pull back. And you feel that sadness sometimes. You can try to override it with a high-octane praise team. But any congregation that is not right with God and each other, there is something there. There is a sense, amen, that there's not a freedom. And God wants to break that so His glory can come, for the Spirit can move freely. I don't know why I'm bringing all this in, but I think it's an important issue tonight. Can you say amen? I love to preach where there's love flowing. I love to preach where faith is being actively presented to serve God and obey Him primarily, and then to believe Him for His promises secondarily. Primary and greatest work of faith is salvation. Amen? And then secondarily is to give our whole life to Him and seek to serve Him. And somewhere down the line, we can begin to believe Him for the personal needs of our life, the other stuff. But if we seek Him in His righteousness, God said, I'll take care of that. That'll be something I'll just add to you. You won't have to spend a lot of time and energy like the world does going after it. I'll see to that if you will get this right. Amen? There's nothing wrong. You say, is it wrong to pray for an automobile? Of course not. But pray for that relationship with God to be right first, not the car first. Amen? Seek His kingdom, His righteousness. And what happens? All these things will be what? Added unto you. In other words, don't get the attitude of the unregenerate world. He used the term Gentiles because Jew and Gentile were two different peoples, a covenant people, a non-covenant people. He's using that analogy to say, don't be like the world around you, who uses all of their energy and time and talent to pursue just the things that they need and the things they feel like they need to fulfill them in their daily life. You just seek my kingdom. You seek my righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. Your Father knows everything that you need. Isn't that incredible? Isn't it great that he knows that already? Amen. And desires to meet that. If we would get the other stuff right, he said, I'll take care of that stuff. That's why I don't like to see that turned around to where we spend our time, energy, and faith to get all that stuff without getting the primary things, the top shelf things, the things close to the heart of God himself. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem before you pray for a house payment. And see how God meets the house payment for you. Can you say amen? Because the peace of Jerusalem is close to God's heart. And it's an unselfish prayer about a place and a people that you barely know, but you are affiliated with spiritually. And you are associated with spiritually. Give him no rest. Amen. I stood with a Jewish man in a service and he came weeping after the service because I repented publicly. David ben Judah, I don't know if he's a Jew or married. I don't know what David was, but he loved Israel. Hallelujah. He came running and weeping. Amen. He died in Israel. He finally got his lifelong dream to go back and live and die, I guess, in the nation of Israel. And I remember when David ben Judah came down after a service and I publicly repented and said, you know, I have prayed for my needs before I've ever thought of praying for the peace of Jerusalem. And I'm sorry that I didn't pray for something bigger than me, beyond me, something so close to the heart of God. But I want to get that bright. I want to rewind. I want to go back. I want to get God's priorities first. Amen. And that doesn't mean my needs are going to go unmet. It just means when I become an intercessor for the things that God is concerned with, mark it down. You're not going to have to push and press to get God to come through for you. Amen. I begin to pray for Israel and the peace of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And God began to take care of a lot of issues in my own life just because I sought His kingdom and His righteousness above my will and my ways. Just thought I'd tell you that faith is always operating in those conditions. That's when it's really biblical faith. That's when it's powerful. That's when it goes beyond just seeing some tangible things happen. And it gets into some spiritual areas that are so fulfilling. I can't describe it. The old timer said it's better felt than told. So I can't tell you what it means to feel that good pleasure of the Lord and to feel clean before Him. Amen. But I'm telling you, it's a high like nothing that anything in this world other than Himself that He could give you will ever give you. It's satisfying. It's fulfilling. I preach messages that cause consternation. I preach messages that cause it to get quiet, not because people are really meditating on it, but because it's bothering them. I preached without smiles and without amens, but I felt His good pleasure because I knew it was His truth and His will for that place at that time, and I felt His nearness. And I remember when I didn't sense that, I was so aware of people's response, and I would just go away kind of withered. I don't walk away withered if you don't amen. I just want you to know I appreciate them. But I'm not going to walk away withered tonight if I don't get them. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to deliver His truth. Hallelujah. And God is going to bless me for it inside first. And He's going to take care of what He wants accomplished. I'm convinced of that tonight. Now, back to our subject. Faith again. I'm not going too much further in this. If I do, we'll get into a time constraint thing, and I don't want to do that tonight. To every man is given the measure of faith. That's why when the gospel is preached, you can believe it. That's why when the word is preached to you as a Christian, you have the capacity to believe that word. But man has something that determines whether or not he uses that faith called a will. It's sovereign, and God won't touch it. He will solicit it, but He will not superimpose His will on you. I want you to understand tonight something that I'm clearly beginning to understand, that faith is a matter of choice. You say, I can't believe. That's not true. You've been given the measure of faith so you can. If you believed on Christ, you can use faith. Amen. Greatest miracle that can ever be is the miracle of salvation. There's none greater. How many know blind eyes opening is nothing compared to spiritual blindness being healed by Jesus? How many know what blind Bartimaeus got is nothing compared to what you receive when God, the Holy Spirit, revealed Christ to you? It's a greater miracle. I want you to know something else too. The greatest battle between heaven and hell took place when you were in the valley of decision. And if hell had the power to stop you, if demons and devils could have stopped you, believe me, you would have never come to know Christ as your Savior. But nothing in Satan's arsenal. When you made the decision to receive Christ, the faith was already in you to receive Him. Can you say amen? And when you made the decision, nothing in hell, nothing out of hell could stop you from coming to Him. Now, I want you to realize that tonight. When you're next time you're in spiritual battle and you feel like, I can't believe, I can't overcome, I'm overwhelmed by this, I can't get past this. That's a lie. It's a deception trying to defraud you out of what God has promised to give you. You have faith and you can choose to use that faith. And don't you ever let the devil talk you out of it. The greatest miracle is yours if you're saved tonight. Hallelujah. And the greatest battle is won tonight when hell had to back off and you came to know Jesus. Hallelujah. Hell will keep on backing off because you've still got the faith. And God's got the power. And that's all it takes to win the battle. Everybody say God's power and our faith. That's all it takes to win the battle. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes but he that used the measure? He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Everybody say that's fundamental. That's primary. Yes, it is. But that is full proof that you've got faith. But when you're discouraged, when you're deceived, and when you're distracted, chances are you won't use your faith. And Satan's counting on you not using your faith. They could have took Canaan if they'd used their faith. It wasn't lack of faith, it was unbelief. It was a choice not to believe. There's a difference in doubt. There's a difference in wavering and unbelief. Unbelief is saying, I know God said it, but I refuse to accept it. I refuse that. Struggling with it's okay. Viva la struggle. My flesh struggles with some things. I mean, believing the incredible sometimes isn't easy. We're so attached to the physical, material world. Amen? I struggle with some things. I struggle with it today. There's things God wants me to believe Him for that sometimes my mind gets in the way. I just limit Him, and I don't want to do that. I want to get it out of the way. I don't want us. Can I tell you something just intimate tonight about our own ministry? I don't want us to just pay off the mortgage and qualify for a building loan and build what we can build. I really don't want to do that. It just won't be as good because anybody can do that. And you don't have to have God to do that if we just keep giving. I want God to do something big. And I don't mean size and stuff. I mean just something that says God. You know what I'm saying? I said, these people could have never done that. It took God to do that. Did you hear about what happened down there? They trusted Him and looked to Him and prayed those large prayers that would bring glory to His name. I mean, one thing he's saying, the reason I'm even into teaching this, there's so many abuses of faith, but I want to start at the foundation of it all, and that's bowing before Him and seeking His will and wanting to be holy before Him and loving Him for who He is, praise God. But then I want to go on, praise the Lord, and I want to ask large enough. He's told us about 50 times. He don't want us to ever limit Him. He wants to be glorified when He answers prayer. He wants you blessed, yes, but He also wants His name to be glorified when He moves for you. He wants it to come in such a way that no one is going to say it was happenstance. No one is going to write it off to luck. Amen. Amen. No one's going to say it just happened. Something. I love the way the surgeons, when they worked on your daughter and we prayed for such a successful surgery, and they were just excited. They came out of the surgery excited. They said, we thought that we might damage the eardrum removing this growth, and they got in there and something dropped in their heart. And they didn't know how we'd prayed, but they come out and said, oh, they're so excited. The way Sherry told us, like two little boys instead of surgeons. These very serious surgeons working in a critical area that a wrong move could have left a little child deaf in that ear. Amen. And yet they found a way to get this thing out without damaging anything. And they discovered it while they were doing the surgery. They didn't have a predisposition to it. They didn't have a plan going into it. But when they got in there, God dropped something in their heart. Amen. They didn't even know where it came from, but they know it came from somewhere. And they were excited. Hallelujah. Woo! That turned me on because I said, Lord, you were there. You just dropped that in their heart. We got what we prayed for. Because God added His blessing to people who were trying to help. Amen? There's a lot of people say, well, God could just do it by Himself. Sure He can. He can use people too. Same people if God uses someone to write them a check for $100,000 for their ministry. Never refuse the check. God used a person. I'm sorry. Can you say amen? If you're going to talk that way, you say, well, the only will I accept if it just falls out of heaven. Well, you send them over here. We'll accept it. Praise God. Amen. I always tell people on Sunday morning, God loves a cheerful giver, but he will receive from a grouch. He may not be able to bless you for it, but we'll take it. Hallelujah. Put it to good use. A gambler gave Oral Roberts $1 million check for the college. And they wrote him bad letters because he accepted it and said, says, you realize that this was money made from gambling? Amen. I don't, you know. So he said, well, we've seen what the devil can do with it. Now let's see what God can do with it. Amen. Well, you don't have to. If a gambler gives me $1 million, we'll put it to work for Jesus. Amen. He won't get the blessing, but we will. We'll use it for the right thing. He's going to use it for debauchery. You're going to use it for the kingdom of God. We'll build something back here. Hallelujah. That says, come on in. Praise God. Just thought I'd tell you that. I have no problem with that. Now, if it's drug money and something like that, you know. But Las Vegas is a legal place, and you can go out there and spend it, and you can go out and make it sometimes. Amen? And I'm not particular how God meets the need, except it be something bad. You know what I'm saying? I felt a little twinge there of somebody saying, I don't know if he should have done that. Well, amen. Just refuse it then. We'll take it. We'll sanctify. There was an old theater down the road from our church, and it was there for years, X-rated theater, and people going to X-rated theater park in our parking lot and then walk to the X-rated theater. They wanted to appear righteous. Amazing what people would do. Amen. They parked in our church parking lot, and, you know, cars sitting in the church parking lot, oh, isn't that nice? And they were all down. It looked like we had a big crowd, and some of them were down the X-rated theater in our parking lot. And it sat there for years. I would tell them where our church was in Sulphur Springs, and I would say, you know, you go to Nebraska Avenue, Hillsborough River, you know where the X-rated theater? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. I said, well, we're 2 blocks behind the X-rated theater. Amen. And so we sat back there, and we prayed for years. And there was a time that I thought for a coffee house ministry that God might just give us that building. And I thought about all the darkness that had been in that place and all the demonic activity and all the spirits of lust and spirits of demons. But did you know something? If we walked in there with a coat of paint and some pine saw and we cleaned that thing up, can you say amen? And we sanctified that building and said, it's been the devil's building, but it ain't the devil's no more. You see, the problem is, we have a problem with plundering hell in order to populate heaven. Sometimes you've got to get down in some of those areas and let the devil know. When we claim it for God, it ain't yours no more. You have no right to it anymore. It may have been used unrighteously in the past, but it's going to be used righteously from here on out. And the moment that it's set apart for God, God is going to sanctify that place. You said, aren't you worried about devils being attached to something? Amen. Honey, they might be there when we get there, but they won't be there when we leave. Can you say amen? Why, Brother Venable? Because the devil is of the darkness and we're coming with the armor of light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And light penetrates the darkness. Hallelujah. It wouldn't bother me at all. Amen. Voodoo don't bother me at all. Someone with a doll that looks like me sticking pins in it tonight don't bother me at all. Amen. Down in Jamaica in the mission house, there was a male witch, a warlock. He came to do his incantations over the missionary house. Didn't bother the missionary at all. Didn't bother my wife at all. Can you say amen? Why didn't it bother him? Amen. Because we know that the greater one lives in us. We come to represent light in a world of darkness. And every man in this world, no matter if the God of this world has blinded the mind, every man has been given the measure of faith. That's why missionaries preach with such confidence. That's why they preach with such conviction. That's why they see people come to know Jesus, because they have the capacity to believe. It's God-given because He wants to save. And you have it too. The capacity to believe. And the measure of faith got you saved. And the measure of faith hell couldn't combat for you to come to Christ. That beginning measure, you came to Jesus. And you overcame all the powers of darkness. Amen. And nothing could stop you with that initial measure of faith. So don't you ever let the devil tell you that you can't believe God. Hallelujah. Don't you ever let him tell you that you can't receive his promises in your life. Don't you ever let him tell you that your witness can't be effective because the world is too dark and people are too absolutely blinded. Listen, if you meet the right person that God is working on, amen, what you have to say can bring them to the foot of the cross. Your testimony is powerful. Because God has given people the capacity to believe. They already have it. Hallelujah. I'm so glad for that tonight. Will you stand your feet tonight? We're not going to go any further. Amen. Now, try number one. It may be old jaw, it may not. If it isn't, we may go to number two. But I just want to rejoice tonight before we leave. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What would happen if we all begin to bow before the Lord, give Him due reverence? To begin with, the beginning use of our faith is to say, Lord, I want to be your servant, your follower. I want to be useful to you. I want your kingdom to come. I want your righteousness. I want to seek your righteousness. I want to be right with you. I want to seek your kingdom. I want you to be the Lord of my life. It's synonymous. His kingdom and His lordship are synonymous. Kingdom is not a mystical place. Kingdom is just the rule and the domain of a king. And Jesus is always presented in Scripture as Lord and Savior. He's never presented like the church does. Amen. Accept Him as your Savior and consider to what degree or if any degree He's going to be your Lord. It never comes that way in Scripture. Everywhere in Scripture you find those terms. It is Lord and Savior. Why? Because you don't come to an altar to get saved, holding back and holding on to your idols and to your false gods and to your secret sins. You come there to get delivered. You come there to take on a new master, to bow to one God, hallelujah, and one God only, hallelujah. Amen. And that's when real conversion takes place and spiritual regeneration and old things that held you in bondage pass away, and everything becomes new in your life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Boy, when I got saved, it wasn't presented like it is now. You know, just come to Jesus, and then we'll deal with all the rest of it later. We'll just see what you want to keep, what you want to give up. No, it was turn your back on all that, and come to Christ and be set free. Amen. And things that people struggle with and go through counseling with, most of us got the very first night back then. Oh, you wasn't back then, so you don't know, but I was there and I can tell you. We got it at the altar because we laid it all on the altar when we came to Jesus. People didn't even have to go through any kind of withdrawal symptoms that had been on drugs. People with sexual addictions were set free and their mind became clear without a spirit of lust with the normal natural desire state, but not that spirit of lust that drove them to sin. It was broken at the foot of the cross. The Holy Ghost was powerfully working within the hearts of people that came and gave up everything for Christ. Because that measure of faith in them allowed them, if they had the will and the heart to do it, God had already given them the faith to do it. Can you say amen? So that's why when Timothy is bowed down and he's under such a heavy load and he's discouraged in his ministry and the ministerial gifts are laying dormant, faith without works is dead, and they were dead in his life. Paul wrote him a letter and said, there was faith in your grandmother. There was faith in your mother. And I know that faith is in you. Stir up the gift that is in you by the laying on of hands. Hallelujah. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, which means timidity, to pull back. But He's given us the spirit of power and love. And a sound, which means disciplined in the Greek. It's not the sound word like sound doctrine, which means pure and unpolluted and unsullied. It's the word for discipline. That means I can direct my mind toward the good things of God. Instead of my hurts and my disappointments, I have that within me. And by faith, I can stir these gifts. Every gift operates according to the measure of faith. Can you say amen? So Satan's point of attack is just get them discouraged, get them distracted, deceive them and tell them they can't believe. They can't reach out for these things. They can't. And he's lying about it. Drug addict out here tonight on these streets, a pimp, a prostitute can walk in this room and hear the gospel and decide, I don't want sin anymore. I want Christ. And not a devil in hell can keep them from salvation. Because that person has in them tonight on Nebraska Avenue, down in Ybor City tonight in a club, that young lady has the measure of faith in her. That young man has the measure of faith in him. Can you say, man? Oh, hallelujah. Man, can we reach people? You better believe we can, because they've already got, if they decide, hallelujah, They've got the capacity. And you and I have it. And I've decided to follow Jesus. And I've decided to believe Him. Instead of looking back, I've decided to go on. We've had so many setbacks ministerially. Amen. There's so many discouraging things happen. But I've decided to look beyond that. Amen. I'm choosing to use the faith that I know is down on the inside of me. I've decided to keep on preaching. Amen. In fact, I don't know what I would do if I didn't keep on preaching. I've been so discouraged, I wanted to stop, but I didn't want to stop. It was like a fire in my bones. Amen. Hallelujah. I've decided to go for some of the things that I've kind of said, it's not that important. Well, I may not have to have some things, but if God promised it, I want to reach out for it that He is glorified. I want Him to be glorified. Hallelujah. Boy, at work, people expect God to move in my life. They expect our shift to be blessed. They expect our machines to run better. I have to pray for everything at work. Amen. They do. They said, well, Rev's here now. It's going to get better. And I say, well, Lord, you heard them. Amen. And I'm expected to, you know, they'll give me mechanics pay to go over and lay hands on machines. Can you say amen? Seriously, they expect it to run better. It was hard for me to get the days off I need to minister because they don't want to do without me. They believe I'm a good luck charm. It has nothing to do with luck at all. But some of them know what it is. There is a God. He loves His people. His ears are open to our cry. Would you bow your head tonight? To every man is given the measure of faith. And every person in this room can choose to believe. It is a choice. And even if you're discouraged because of incidents, circumstances in your life, it doesn't change God. It doesn't change the truth of the Word of God. It doesn't cancel any promises of God. And if you'll trust Him, God will answer your prayers. Those gifts will be stirred up within you. Hallelujah. I am with you to do good, that my name may be glorified, that my Son may be exalted. Believe me for mighty things, that my name be glorified in your life, saith God. For I desire to bless you, and in the process of blessing you, to exalt the name of my Son, that other people know that your God is God. And has great power to save, saith the Lord. It's inside of you tonight. I believe there's going to be some changes come that are radical, dramatic, jaw-dropping. Everybody say jaw-dropping. I love God to do things that makes my jaw drop. That I just stand in awe and say, wow. And then say it backwards. Wow. Can you say amen? Overwhelming things. Amen. I don't want to just get by. I want to see the hand of the Lord. I had fainted, David said, unless I believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. When God moves for His people, it's dancing, shouting time. Praise the Lord. Will you join hands tonight? I want to pursue this message if we can on Sunday evenings, if we don't go back to it Sunday morning. I believe that there is a faith that is biblical, that can be used in a spiritual way to reverence God and primarily to serve God and to bow before Him with. But I believe that same faith then can expand to touching your loved ones, your children, and touching your lives and touching your homes and touching every need that you have. I believe we serve a good Father who desires to bless His people. But the greater blessing and the greatest blessing is in the gift of His Son, and through the gift of His Son, the gift of Himself. And He wants us to know Him and to walk with Him. And wherever we are at this moment in life, to find contentment in Christ first where we are before He answers any other prayer or takes us to any other situation. Amen. He wants us to know that He's with us, and He wants to manifest His presence to us. And He wants us to begin to receive that right where we are, right here, right now. And he'll give us the strength we need to trust him and to be patient and persistent for the answers to all the other needs, to find that place of peace and satisfaction right here, right now. I want this church to grow, and I believe it's going to. I want to reach more people in my latter years, my senior years, amen, with the gospel than in all the previous years. But right now, tonight, I'm glad to be here with you. I'm not going to discredit nor discount this night and the significance of it. I'm not going to wait for some future event to shout his praise and tell him that I love him. Amen. I believe people in this room, one of you can chase 1,000. Two of you can put 10,000 to flight. Can you say, man, it doesn't take a crowd. It just takes a people that trust the Lord and bow to him alone. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, that you are with us. We thank you that Yahweh is indeed with us tonight. Hallelujah. Just like you were with your covenant people of old and the apostles in the new covenant, you were with us tonight. As you were with Moses, you said, I'll be with Joshua. I'm not limited to one man or one people, but all who will come to me by faith. And Father, we praise you for that tonight. And Father, we pray that this mighty move of your Spirit in our hearts and lives will begin to expand to other people and to other people and to other people and to other people. And Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for this morning. We anticipate our next service and Father, what you're going to do and what you're going to say to us. And Father, we love you and we love your presence tonight. Bless every person. Meet every need. Drive back every force of darkness. And let victory be the business of this people. And let business be good to the glory of God. And everyone said amen and amen. Shake somebody's hand and hug their neck and tell them Jesus is Lord in the 21st century. Will you do that tonight?